You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Good morning and welcome to the broadcast of the Divine Service at Zion Lutheran Church in Chippewa Falls. To help you follow along, the order of worship for today's service is available under the radio tab on our website, zionlcmscf.org. The Lord bless you today through the hearing of His Word.
Good morning and welcome. Allow me to introduce the hymns for our radio listeners. And we are following Divine Service Setting 1, which begins on page 151 in the Lutheran Service Book. Our opening hymn is 908, Lord, Now Open My Heart to Hear. Hymn of the Day, 536, One Thing's Needful. Distribution Hymn, 683, Jesus, Thy Boundless Love to Me. 953 is the Hymn of the Month, We All Believe in One True God. 575, My Hope is Built on Nothing Less. Closing Hymn, 685, Let Us Ever Walk with Jesus. And just one announcement is tomorrow night, Men of Zion are gathering, and we'll grill out like we've been doing along the side of the building. So come bring some meat to grill and a friend, and we'll enjoy a little time together. Let's begin with our opening hymn. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. If we say we have no sin, We deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We allow a time of silence to reflect on God's word and for self-examination. Let us then confess our sins to God, our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Turn to your yellow insert, and we'll sing together the introit. Is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Gracious to me according to your promise. Do not delay to keep your is full of your steadfast love. Teach me your statutes. Glory be to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Your word is a light to my feet. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. The Lord be with you.
Let us pray. O Lord, grant us the spirit to hear your word and know the one thing needful, that by your word and spirit we may live according to your will, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Old Testament reading is from Genesis chapter 18. The Lord appeared to Abraham by the oaks of Mamre as he sat at the door of his tent in the heat of the day. He lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, three men were standing in front of him. When he saw them, he ran from the tent door to meet them and bowed himself to the earth and said, O Lord, if I have found favor in your sight, do not pass by your servant. Let a little water be brought and wash your feet and rest yourselves under the tree while I bring a morsel of bread, that you may refresh yourselves. And after that you may pass on, since you have come to your servant. So they said, Do as you have said. And Abraham went quickly into the tent to Sarah and said, Quick, three seahs of fine flour, knead it and make cakes. And Abraham ran to the herd and took a calf, tender and good, and gave it to a young man who prepared it quickly. Then he took curds and milk and the calf that he had prepared and set it before them. And he stood by them under the tree while they ate. They said to him, "Where is Sarah, your wife?" And he said, "She is in the tent." The Lord said, "I will surely return to you about this same time next year, and Sarah, your wife, shall have a son." And Sarah was listening at the tent door behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old, advanced in years. The way of women had ceased to be with Sarah. So Sarah laughed to herself, saying, "After I'm worn out and my Lord is old, shall I have pleasure?" The Lord said to Abraham, "Why did Sarah laugh and say, 'Shall I indeed bear a child now that I am old?' Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the appointed time, I will return to you about this time next year, and Sarah shall have a son." This is the word of the Lord. We turn to the yellow insert and sing together the gradual. The epistle is from Colossians chapter 1. "You who once were alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, he has now reconciled in his body of flesh by his death, in order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before him, if indeed you continue in the faith, stable and steadfast, not shifting from the hope of the gospel that you heard, which has been proclaimed in all creation under heaven, and of which I, Paul, became a minister. Now I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake, and in my flesh I am filling up what is lacking in Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, that is, the church, of which I became a minister, according to the stewardship from God that was given to me for you, to make the word of God fully known, the mystery hidden for ages and generations, but now revealed to his saints. To them God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Him we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom, that we may present everyone mature in Christ. For this I toil, struggling with all his energy that he powerfully works within me." This is the word of the Lord. Please stand in honor of the gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 10th chapter. Now as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. She had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she went up to him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things. But one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her." This is the gospel of the Lord. it, the heart is still fretting and striving. No true lasting happiness ever deriving. This one thing is needful, all others are vain. I count all but loss, but I Christ may obtain. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Hard work and selfless service is exemplified and encouraged throughout Scripture. Last Sunday we heard the parable of the Good Samaritan showed himself to be the neighbor by selflessly taking care of the needs of the man who had been beaten and stripped and robbed and left half dead along the road. We see examples throughout Scripture and the lives of saints like Paul. He reminded the elders in Ephesus of his years of ceaseless ministry and cited Jesus to encourage them in ongoing work. He said, "In all things I have shown you that by working hard in this way we must help the weak and remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he himself said, 'It is more blessed to give than to receive.'" And so we have this maxim from Jesus himself. In the Old Testament reading today, Abraham is giving generously in his hospitality to these unexpected strangers, and then he's blessed. He's blessed by the Lord himself, to whom he is, was giving and working so hard for. And so in our gospel reading, it may seem puzzling why Martha is rebuked by the same Lord who received this hospitality from Abraham. Why is she rebuked for showing similar hospitality? Why? What is going on? In the text, the gospel text, Martha appears to be doing the work that is necessary to show good hospitality. And hospitality is good. We should all exercise this in our homes and here at Zion. And so Martha is doing this. It's her house and she's the hostess. It would be expected that she serves her guests, attends to their needs, and Jesus and everybody who is with him, it would be a group of them. The preparations, the service, it requires work, it requires effort, and Martha is doing this. While she's doing that, Mary, her sister, is sitting at the feet of Jesus, listening to his teaching. Martha takes care of the guests. They've just arrived at her house. She's giving of herself for the sake of them, for the sake of her Lord, Jesus, while her sister sits. Hospitality is highly valued by the Lord, and that time in history it was particularly valued. So Mary's behavior must have seemed, from Martha's perspective, to be selfish, inconsiderate, lazy, I don't know. But it bothered her. It bothered her enough that she's going to, you know, bring it up with her Lord, bring it to his attention, and expect him to do something about it. But to her surprise, Jesus takes Mary's side. Martha is admonished by the Lord. This account is written by Luke, who recorded Jesus' words, "It's more blessed to give than to receive." And it is directly following that lesson of the Good Samaritan, where we're instructed to selflessly and mercifully and generously give of ourselves for others. So how do we understand these seemingly contradictory positions, seemingly contradictory edicts, and answer the question, is it better to give or to receive? When Jesus came to Martha's home, it was not only to share a meal and time with friends, he had come to teach, to bring his word to the disciples who needed it, and that's the priority. And this was the better portion of what would be enjoyed by those gathered guests. This was the one thing needful for them that would not be taken away. And when Mary was sitting, she was doing more than just sitting. She was listening. She's taking in the words of God. These are words of eternal life. And Mary is showing hospitality to our Lord, who had come to serve her with the one thing necessary. And she let him do this. And she received his word within herself. Yes, we are to give selflessly, generously, lovingly, trustingly. But we can't do this rightly unless we have first received and been renewed by the Word of God. We can fool ourselves, we can fool other people. We do this when we give for selfish reasons, other reasons. Maybe we want to show how good we are, and we maybe want to win the favor of another person. Maybe want to have them owe us for something. We do this and they'll do that, or all kinds of reasons. We could even give out of guilt, you know, an attempt to justify ourselves or to make up for something we've done. Actually, we come up with all kinds of reasons to give that are not motivated by the love of Christ, the love that comes from him, from the life he has given us, from the recognition, the genuine appreciation that all we have and all that we are comes from him, from his abundant grace and his mercy and his service to us. While Martha was indeed hospitable, you know, certainly in her outward works, and that she, you know, was taking care of them, but it fell short when she didn't receive the words that Jesus brought. The work she was doing was distracting her from the word of the Lord. Jesus had come not to be served, but to serve. And Martha, at this point in time, needed to be served. Mary rightly recognized the importance of receiving the words of Christ. Nothing was more important in that moment. And Martha, on the other hand, was anxious, troubled about many things, belying a lack of faith. Troubles show that in our busy lives, in our desire to do for other people, we can also be distracted by serving. But in our anxiety, in our trouble, the Lord calls us to sit at his feet, to take in his word, to receive the good portion, which will not be taken away. The soul, like the physical body, needs nourishment to live, to thrive. God provides this through his word, and through the holy sacrament of the altar. Christ came to give us life, and he did this through his life, through his death, and through his resurrection. In Christ, you do have life eternal. And he gave you this life in your baptism when he came to you through the water and the word spoken to you in your baptism, and he comes to you still throughout your temporal life. He keeps coming to you, giving you a word to sustain you, to energize you in this world. And his word does convict you of your sin, your need for him, your need to repent, your need to receive forgiveness. And that word puts to death the sinful man that's in you, so that he can revive you with his gracious word. He tells you you're anxious, you're troubled about many things, so stop. You're not trusting me and my word. Stop comparing yourself to others. Stop worrying about what those other people are doing or not doing. Stop complaining about others. Just that sin. You need my word. This word that speaks forgiveness to you. Jesus tells you that he's taken your sins of doubt and worry and anxiety and trouble, he's taken those upon himself, and he gives you forgiveness. He gives you righteousness. The word of God that you hear is the word of Jesus Christ, his suffering, his dying, his rising from the dead, his ascending into heaven for you, and your life is secure in him. Your eternity is secure in Jesus Christ. Jesus is the giver, and we are the receivers. So letting Jesus serve you is showing hospitality to your Lord, who has come to serve you. So you've come, and you sit, and now you can listen. Put aside the distractions. Believe his word for you. Internalize it, if you will. Let it enter into you. Trust it. Follow it. This is showing hospitality to our Lord. And after receiving this, after receiving Christ in you, now you can go and serve those who also need him, who need care. But without Christ, we're dead, spiritually dead. Those who have not heard of Christ or rejected him or stopped believing in him are spiritually dead. And God wants you to live. He comes to you through his life-giving word and sacraments, and this is why we gather and sit, and still our hearts, and with grateful hearts we receive it. We fix our attention on him, what he says, to receive our crucified Lord and all the many gifts that he pours out and gives to us, even in this setting, forgiveness and salvation and peace that passes all understanding and eternal life in him. We don't presume that we must serve him in order to be worthy of his gifts, but we recognize with humility he must serve us. We need him. And he is the good portion that will not be taken away from us. If we get distracted and fail to receive him, we miss the good portion and we become anxious and troubled about many things. But when we receive him, when we're renewed and refreshed and ready to serve, not with anxiety, not with fixation on our troubles, but with peace and confidence in our Lord, then we go and do so. It's like getting good nutrition and rest for your physical body. You need good food to strengthen you. You need good food to fight off infection and to heal from wounds and injury. And well, the word does that, strengthens you and fights off the infection of the world, the influence that comes throughout the week, and to heal and repair injuries that you've suffered in your mind, in your soul. Christ's word and sacrament is for your spiritual well-being, and so we gather regularly, quiet ourselves, sit in anticipation of receiving the gifts that our Lord brings us, his word, body, blood, forgiveness of sins, salvation of our souls, eternal life. We let him serve us, grateful, humble, trusting, taking in the nourishment of our souls. Then after being renewed in Christ, we're ready to go out into the world to love our neighbor as we love ourselves, confident in the abundance of all that God provides for us in Christ and for our neighbor. As Abraham, Paul, and the saints had received the word and the promise of the Lord before they gave and served in return, well, so must we. Paul talks about in his epistle, he says, I'm going to read a little bit of this. It says, him we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom that we may present everyone mature in Christ. All right. He's doing a lot of work. For this I toil, struggling with all his energy that he powerfully works within me. We toil with the energy of God that he feeds us through his word and sacrament. Mary recognized that she needed this nourishment and this rest, and Martha at the time did not. And presumably after Jesus approached her, confronted her with her sin, she turned and rested and sat at his feet and got the one thing necessary to join with Mary, who recognized that Jesus had come to serve them. And then after receiving Jesus and his life-giving words, after the fellowship meal, then Mary and Martha would be refreshed and ready to serve Jesus and others. But receiving Jesus was the most important thing, the better portion that would not be taken away. And so we are grateful that in the divine service, our Lord comes to serve us and we receive him. Forgiveness for our sins, salvation for your soul, everlasting life. And after receiving this good proportion, we are refreshed and ready to give. Amen. And may the peace that passes all understanding keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Please stand. Together we confess our faith is written in the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For all the saints here in Christ, that they may be presented to the Father as those whom Christ has made holy and righteous and fit for eternal life, let us pray to the Lord. For all pastors and those studying to be pastors, all deaconesses, missionaries, translators, teachers, and those who work to bring God's word to his people, that their labors may be fruitful and their hearts faithful, let us pray to the Lord. For the young people of the LCMS as they gather in New Orleans, that their eyes may be fixed on Jesus, who endured the cross for them, that they may have hope and discipline to run their course after Christ, that they may return safely to their homes, let us pray to the Lord. For those who make, judge, and administer our laws, that they may know the ways of the Lord and follow them for the good of all people, let us pray to the Lord. For the sick and those who suffer, the grieving and the dying, especially the family of Chuck Heitke, Bob, Shirley, Dave, Gabby, Vicky, Fred, Anita, Dwayne, Dan, Joanne, Lois, Louis, Mary, Harold, Joan, Linda, Marlis, Tim, Rick, Greg, Missy, Lacey, Marilyn, Marlene, Kathy, Doris, Matthew, Mark, Erno, Jeff, Ethel, and those we name in our hearts, that they may rejoice in their sufferings for the sake of Christ and know healing and grace according to God's will, let us pray to the Lord. For all who join in the supper of Christ's body and blood this day, that they may treasure this precious gift as the good portion that is above all earthly things, let us pray to the Lord. For faith to follow the example of those beloved saints who labored among us and now rest from their labors, that we too may seek out ways to serve our Master, who so faithfully serves us, let us pray to the Lord. Almighty God, you have forgiven our sins and delivered us from death through our Lord Jesus Christ. Continue to pour out your mercy upon us. Grant us all good things needful to this body and life, and keep from us all things harmful. From you, through you, and to you are all things, O Lord, Holy Father, mighty God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who with you and the Holy Spirit is one Lord, one God, now and forevermore. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. You may be seated as the offering is collected.
The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and at all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, blessed are you, Lord of heaven and earth, for you have had mercy on those whom you created and sent your only begotten Son into our flesh to bear our sin and be our Savior. With repentant joy, we receive the salvation accomplished for us by the all-availing sacrifice of his body and his blood on the cross. Gathered in the name and the remembrance of Jesus, we beg you, O Lord, to forgive, renew, and strengthen us with your word and spirit. Grant us faithfully to eat his body and drink his blood, as he bids us do in his own testament. Gather us together, we pray, from the ends of the earth to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb and his kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers, deliver and preserve us. To you alone, O Father, be all glory, honor, and worship, with the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you, for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." As often as we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.
Come, Lord Jesus.
O Lord Jesus Christ, only Son of the Father, in giving us your body and your blood to eat and to drink, you lead us to remember and confess your holy cross and passion, your blessed death, your rest in the tomb, your resurrection from the dead, your ascension into heaven, and your coming for the final judgment. So remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Jesus.
Christ, given unto death for you. Shed for you for the forgiveness of all your sins. The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve you in body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace.
Thank you.
thank you for tuning in to the Divine Service at Zion Lutheran Church in Chippewa Falls. May the word of Christ dwell in you richly. If you have any prayer requests, please let us know. You may call us at 715-723-6380 or stop by and visit 110 East Grand Avenue in Chippewa Falls. If you're looking for a church home, we'll gladly tell you more about Zion or help you find a congregation near you. These broadcasts are paid for by generous gifts made to our radio fund. If you'd like to contribute, click the Give tab on our website, zionlcmscf.org, or send a check to Zion Lutheran Church Radio Fund, 110 East Grand Avenue, Chippewa Falls, Wisconsin, 54729. Zion is a member of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.